Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Samech Hey. We're starting with the Mishnah Samech Tal Amud Beis. Since Daf Mem Zayin, thereabouts, we have learned about the exchange rate between husband and wife in terms of legislation that was made by the Chachamim in order to make sure that the marriage works. So what does he have to do? He has to support her. He has to give her mizonos. What does she have to do? She has to do Maisei Adayim. Now that's a gross oversimplification, as we already know, that there are many more responsibilities that they have in either direction. In the recent past, we have spoken now about the chiyuv ona, the obligation that a husband has to his wife in terms of intimacy. So that's been a big discussion the last couple of days. We talked about a moredes and a moreid, a woman or a man who is rebelling against each other, and what is going to be the strategy in terms of how to resolve that or how to respond to that. But here in our Mishnah, really simple, really basic. We've cited parts of this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. But this Mishnah now is going to outline in detail, using measurements and numbers, and exactly what mizonos he has to provide for her and what Maisei Adayim she has to provide for him. And so with that stated, let's start with the Mishnah. Samech Tal Amud Beis, the big Mishnah. It starts towards the top of the Amud. Mashras Isha Yidei Shlish. So the Mishnah opens up with a funny line, and that is that he is supporting her, but he's doing so through agency. In other words, whatever, he's out of town, he's not available right now. He still has an obligation, a financial obligation, to go ahead and support her. So fine, so he appoints a trustee, a custodian, in order to provide that for her. So lo yivchosla, so this is a minimum that he must provide for her, and that is mishnei kabin chitin, or mearba kabin saorin. So it's either going to be wheat or barley. Wheat is always viewed as a more qualitatively better grain than that of barley. And so therefore, if he's going to be giving barley, it's got to be two times the amount of barley than that of wheat. As far as wheat is concerned, he's got to give two kavim of wheat. Please stay tuned, because a good part of today's daf, we're going to figure out how much two kavim of wheat is. Meaning, we know it's a volume, but is that going to be sufficient for her in order to provide for her the whole week? She's got to be eating bread every day. So, Amar Rav Yossi la pasuk la saorin el Rabbi Shmuel shaya mesamach le'adov. You know who would give saorin? You know who would give barley? It would only be Rabbi Shmuel, since that he was as a result of the fact that he was proximate to Edom, so he gave barley. Gemara is going to try to figure out what exactly is meant by that line in the Mishnah. We're going to come back to that later.
Why
would the Mishnah? Okay, Phil's asking, why is the Mishnah giving us the context of providing for her via third party? Meaning, why can't the Mishnah just be nice and straightforward? Right, this is what he's got to provide for her. So, I guess in terms of, when you do anything through third party, in other words, the question always becomes, you know, did he give her too much? And so, in other words, so what we're basically instructing is that these are the base minimums, so that when the third party provides this much, he's totally within the right to do so. Okay. V'nosi l'chatzi kav kitnis. Now, in addition to the grains for the bread, so more, half a kav of kitnis, what's called beans, something along those lines. V'chatzi log shemen. Oil, vikav grogeris, figs. I'm sorry, dates. Okay. Omane dvela, or figs. Okay. They're both. I was wrong two times over. They're both dates. V'im ein lo. No, they're both figs.
Figs.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. They're both figs. V'im ein lo. Posik lumasam peres memakam acher, or some other fruit supplement. Okay. V'nosin la mita mapatz. Now you got. She needs the bed. She needs sheets for the bed. Machatzelis is basically some sort of lattice that's used that she could lie down on top of or to cover with. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Nosala kippa l'rosha, also something to put on her head. Chagra l'masna, a belt, and min alim mimor l'moed, new shoes every yontif. And Kalem Shel Chamishim Zuz Mishana Lashana, as far as her wardrobe expense, she gets to be spending 50 Zuz per year on her wardrobe. And Nosden La Lo Chadash Miyamos Acham Avlo Shchakim Miyamos Agshamim, right? Not new clothing in the summer and old clothing, tattered clothing in the winter. El Nosden La Kalem Shel Chamishim Zuz Biyamos Agshamim Vihi Mitkaseh Bivla Osem Biyamos Acham. So, and Hashachakim Shalah. But rather, here's how the wardrobe is going to work. And that is, new wardrobe is going to be purchased for the wintertime. The wintertime in Eretz Yisrael was wetter, was colder. And so the new clothing was good for the winter. And then what's going to happen is over the course of the year, it's going to wear out. But in the summertime, it's fine that it wore out a little bit because in the summertime, it's hot. So the clothing is a little thinner and not going to be providing for as much warmth, but that's okay because it's the summertime. Okay. And as far as the residual value of the clothing for, you know, at the end of the year, so she gets to keep it. Nosin lam, kesef letzarka, an allowance of ma'al kesef. We already discussed that earlier. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, we said that the ma'al kesef of allowance that she's receiving in exchange for that, what does she give back to the husband? Was a machlokus, but if I'm not mistaken, the accepted position is that the moser maisi adeha. In other words, anything that's above base amount maisi adeha going to go back to the husband in exchange for the fact that he's giving her an allowance. V'ochelas imayom melele Shabbos lele Shabbos. They eat together. They're required to eat together one night a week. Okay, from Friday night to Friday night. V'imein osin la ma kesef letzarcha maisi adeha shala. Now, if he's not giving her ma'a kesef, so then she gets to retain her maisi adeha. So if you remember, early in the Masechta, we already quoted this line of the Mishnah. It sounds like the ma'a kesef, the allowance, is going to be corresponding to the maisi adeha. Earlier we said it corresponds to the moser maisi adeha. So maybe this line of the Mishnah needs to be edited. We already touched on that earlier in the Masechta. We are continuing. Umahi oselo. Okay, so far that was a very detailed list and description of the mizonos that go from him to her. Now we're going to go in the other direction. We're going to go from her to him. The maisi adeha, the work that she has to do, the earnings that she has to do. She has to produce. So what does she have to produce? Umahi oselo. Excuse me. Mishkal chamesh shalayim shesi b'Yehuda. So it's got to be that she's got to make string. There is in the weave. So there's the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical is called the chassis, and the horizontal is called the Erev. The Erev is thicker, the chassis is thinner. So the Gemara over here is giving very detailed description. I understand we're not weaving nowadays, but we benefit from the weave, but we're not doing it ourselves. But over here, the Mishnah is giving a very detailed description of she's got to make the amount of 5 salim. Salim is a coin, but it's also a weight. So she's got to make the weight of 5 salim of Shesi in Yehuda, which happens to correspond she in Eser Salim Begalo. Okay, for whatever reason, the coins are different weights in the south of Israel and the north of Israel. And so the Gemara is just giving us the conversion rate, whether you're in the south or whether you're in the north. O Mishkal Eser Salim Erev B'Yehuda. Or the weight of Eser Salim of Erev. Erev is the horizontal string in Yehuda. Shein Esrim Salim Begala, which is going to be 20 Salim in the Gala. Okay. Wonderful. What is he doing with it? I presume that he's going to be selling it. I was wondering the same thing myself, right? In other words, what does he need all this string for? Okay. So I assume he sells it, but I'm guessing, I'm not sure. Now, if she's currently nursing, so then mizonos goes up and her maisi adam requirement goes down. In other words, with the understanding, of course, that she needs to be supplemented more food because she is not only feeding herself but the baby as well. So good. So that's why the mizonos goes up, and obviously because she's nursing, she's going to be in a more fragile state, and therefore her productivity expectation is in fact going to go down. Now, everything we just stated in the Mishnah is going to be base minimums. But if a woman's coming in from a higher level of society, so then the expectation is that she's going to get more. Okay, money must nisen. Okay, so everyone hang on. We are going to go now through a really detailed discussion regarding whether or not the 2 kav of wheat is really enough to support her for the week. Meaning that's the total amount of bread she's receiving. It's not the bread, it's really the grain in order to make the bread. But okay, let's just speak in numbers. The 2 kav is sufficient for her for the week. Okay, is that going to be enough? So the Gemara now is going to really crunch the numbers. So mani masnisim la Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka v'la Rabbi Shimon. So who is the Mishnah following like? So it sounds like it's following like nobody. So a little bit of background information. So you want to walk in Shabbos beyond Tchum, so what you need to do is make what's called an Erev Tchum. Okay, the Masechta dedicated to discussing this issue, actually 2 Masechtas, it's discussed in Erevin. It's also discussed with some detail in Masechta Beitz as well. Anyway, so you make an Erev Tchum, and what you do is that you take a food, and you need 2 meals worth of that food, and you put it down in a location in order to serve as your center, your makom shvisa. That now becomes your point of center. You'll walk to your makom shvisa, and from your makom shvisa, now you can walk an additional 2,000 amas. So what it can do, your Erev Tchum, is extend your Tchum on Shabbos an additional 2,000 amas. Wonderful. Good. Now with that stated, Didnan, we're right now focusing on the food that's needed in order to make the Erev Tchum. So, Kama Shi'uro. So what's the shiur? It's a Mishnah Erevin. Really straightforward question. How much food do you need to lay down? For the Erev Chatzeros, just I'm saying this as a contrast, the Erev Chatzeros is what we all contribute in order to unify our community so that every property, both our homes and the streets, are all considered one entity. Well, first things first, by the way, for Erev Chatzeros, you have to make sure that it's all one Mirshus Yachid, making a wall, a perimeter around. Once you've done that, so now you're going to be unifying everybody. Everyone's contributing food. I know you don't remember making that contribution to the Erev Chatzeros. You did. Somebody did on your behalf. Zachen l'adam shelo b'fanav. And now, what is that food? The food is a box of matzahs. Where is it kept? Typically in the shul, right? In the time of the Gemaras, it was kept in somebody's home. Nowadays, it's kept in the shul. Anyway, the
and put it somewhere out in the wilderness.
You're asking about the Erev Tchum?
Yeah.
I'll come back to that in just a moment. So the Erev Chatzeros, so how much food needs to be given? A box of matzah for the entire community, right? Baruch Hashem, our community's got thousands of people. A box of matzah is good for thousands of people. And the answer is yes. The box of matzah is good for thousands of people. It works. For Erev Chatzeros, you don't need enough food for everybody. I'm just contrasting. But when it comes to Erev Tchumim, so you need two meals for every person who's going to be utilizing the Erev Tchum. Goes without saying that Bizman Azeh, nobody's making an Erev Tchum. Everyone's quite content and happy just being home and not going anywhere. And anyway, our perimeters are so large. And, okay, you get the point. We're not making Erev Tchumim nowadays. Anyway, so where is the Erev Tchum going to be deposited? Yeah, it'll be deposited in a safe box. In other words, you don't have to dig a hole in the ground in order to deposit it in the hole in the ground, but you put it somewhere safe. So, v'kama shi'uro. So, l'mazman sh'esuz l'chol echa v'echad. So, it's got to be two meals for everybody. So, the Mishnah goes on to say, mizon l'chol v'lo l'shabbos, if Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'shabbos v'lo l'chol, zev v'zem is kavan l'hakam. So the first two opinions in the Mishnah, we don't have to spend much time with them, not because they're unimportant, simply because they're not relevant to our discussion. Okay, whether they're weekday meals or Shabbos meals, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, each one of them feels that either the weekday meal or the Shabbos meal is going to be smaller amounts. Okay, when we do Erevin, or when we did Erevin, I'm sure we discussed it in a little bit more detail, we're going to bypass those two positions, not relevant to our discussion. What is relevant to our discussion are the next two opinions. Rav Yochan ben Broka Omer Kikar Halakuach bePundayon meArba Sa'in Lesala. It's going to be a kikar where you're going to take a pundayon. Pundayon is a small coin where the cost of wheat was arba sa'in for one sela. Okay, now we're gonna fast forward. Meaning Rashi here crunches all these numbers and it comes out now that a kikar, a loaf of bread, is going to be made from one half of a kaf. That's all we need to know. Okay, it'd be better if we went through the whole process and we went through the mathematics in terms of how we got here. Okay, what you'll do is, well, you'll trust me. I don't recommend it normally, but over here you'll trust me that according to Rav Yochan ben Broka, a full kikar, a full loaf, is going to be made up from half of a kaf. Hold that thought. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Shtei Yados LeKikar Mishalsh Kikar LeKaf. And according to Rabbi Shimon, so a kikar is, one kikar makes up three meals. Two thirds of that would be sufficient for two meals. So and now three kikaros are going to be made up from one kav. Okay. So we have so far in front of us now how much a kav is going to be providing. According to Rabbi Yochan ben Broka, a kav is going to be, a half a kav is one kikar. And according to Rabbi Shimon, one kav is going to be able to produce three kikaros. Okay, those are the numbers that we need to hang on to. And now the Gemara crunches. Before the Gemara crunches, the Gemara chetzia lebeis amenuga vechatzi chatzia lepsos agvia vechatzi chatzi chatzia lekabel tomas ochlen. Okay, and once you know the shiurim of what a kikar is, half of a kikar for a house of tzaras, and please forgive me, I'm not going to go through the details right now. These particular halakhas, again, not relevant to our discussion, obviously important in and of themselves, but I'm just bypassing. And half of that amount is going to be pasling somebody if somebody consumes food that's tame. So he's going to be pasled. It's called psul haguf. And half of that is going to be tumas ochlin. The amount of food that is going to be able to receive tuma if coming to contact with tuma. Okay. Again, important, just not relevant to our discussion. I'm trying to remain as focused as possible. So money. So now that we're here, so Amish is going like whom? Rav Yochanan ben Broka Tamya Havei. Now, if we're going like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, so two kavan now are going to be able to provide how many meals? It's only going to be able to provide 8 meals, right? Half of a kav is a kikar. So now in our Mishnah, so we have 2 kavan. So that is going to be the equivalent of 8 meals. A kikar is enough to provide for 2 meals. And so we have 4 kikaros, comes out to 8 meals. Okay, she's going to need more to eat more than 8 meals a week. Okay, everyone see the problem? Okay, and E Rabbi Shimon, Tamisre Havayan. Now, if you're Rabbi Shimon, actually, the two kavan are going to be able to produce 18 meals. Now, 18 is a great number. Oh. It just happens to be too large. How many meals does she need to be eating a week? 14. 7 days a week, 2 meals a day, 14. So 8's too small and 14's too big. And so where are we right now? We're a little bit lost in terms of our Mishnah with two kavan. And so this is going to be a classic example where basically the Gemara is going to be doing a little bit of accounting for us today. And so let's do the accounting. So Lalam Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Kedam Rav Chista Tzei Mehen Shlisha Chanvani So Hachanami Aisi Tilsa Shdi Alayhu. So the Gemara says that really the truth of the matter is our Mishnah is going like Rav Yochanan ben Broka. And let's take the following into consideration. Normally what happens when you have your wheat? So normally what happens is that you're not going to be baking the bread. You'll take the wheat to the baker. The baker is going to make the bread. Ah, in other words, but there's a service fee. How much is a service fee? So he's going to be keeping for himself a third. Good for him. Okay. So he'll be keeping for himself a third. So, and that normally represents a service fee, right? It sounds like a lot. But anyway, but in our Mishnah, so our Mishnah now is telling us that she's going to be receiving two kavin, but she's not going to give it to the baker in order to bake the bread. Who's going to bake it? She'll bake the bread. So in other words, so now that's going to be two kavin, which is going to be all the bread and no service fee. Ah, so now if there's no service fee, so how many meals is she getting? So she's going to get 8 and then, and add on to that 50%. So that's 8 plus 4. That's 12. She's getting now 12 meals. Not good enough. So Akati Chartarti Srain Havyan, the Gemara says exactly that point. That's not enough. So Achelasimo Lele Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember they're eating together on Shabbos, so she only needs 12 meals. So Hani Chalamandamar Achilamamish Elamandamar Achila Tashmish Maikala Memar. Happens to be that later this morning we're gonna have the following deliberation when the Mishnah talks about them eating together. Does the Mishnah mean literally eating together? Or is the Mishnah speaking euphemistically? If the Mishnah is speaking euphemistically, so then we don't have a good pshat. Our numbers are not have not been accounted for. And on top of that, also, even if they're eating together on Friday night, even if eating meant literally eating, but still, in other words, that's one meal on Shabbos. The other meal on Shabbos, in other words, she's still going to need 13 meals. So Ella Kedamer of Chisat Se Mehem Metzal Lechenvanya. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe we're going like Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that the service fee of the baker is going to be, he keeps half. Okay, now I balked at him, the baker keeping a third of the wheat as a service fee. Okay, imagine my head right now as I'm thinking about the baker keeping half of the wheat as a service fee. Okay, in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, well, which one is it? Is it a third? Is it a third or is it a half? Can we agree to what the service fee of the baker is going to be? But right now, just in terms of crunching the numbers, let's say it's half. Well, if it's half, good. So that means what? So that means that two kavan are going to be able to produce how many meals? So it's going to be 16, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Oh, 16 is great. Now, 16 is great, by the way. It happens to be a little bit more than what we need. We need 14 meals. Okay, hold that. We're coming back to that in just a moment. Kasha de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista. So, la kasha haba asra de yahavitzivi, haba asra de lo yahavitzivi. So the service fee is what? Is it going to be a third? Is it going to be a half? How much is the baker keeping? The Gemara says it depends. Are you supplying the fuel or you're not supplying the fuel? If you're supplying the fuel, so then he only keeps a third. If you're not supplying the fuel, then he's going to be keeping a half. Okay, good. So ihachi shitzrei havyan. So the Gemara says now we're at the 16 meals. 16 meals, that is
a lot.
Too much. She only needs 14 meals. So the Gemara says, come on, Kerab Chitka, Damar Arba, Asud, Oschaiv Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but how many meals do you have to have on Shabbos? And remember the position of Rabbi Chitka. We discussed this in Shabbos. If I remember correctly, Kuf Yotes, we talked about the mitzvah Shal Shudas. There is an opinion of Rav Chitka that a person's supposed to have 4 meals on Shabbos. So 4 meals on Shabbos, it gets us to an additional 2 more meals. So that's called 14 meals for the week and an additional 2 more meals. So that gets us to 16. We have now, we have smoothed over the numbers, right? Okay, good. So the Gemara says, Afilu teima rabbanan. The Gemara says, okay, you know what? We can go with the conventional approach that on Shabbos. You only need 3 meals, and you don't need 4 meals. And what we could just simply say is that the okay, so she's given one additional meal, she's entitled to have guests, and so therefore, what she'll do is that with the extra food that she has, she'll have guests. Hashadasu sachi afilu teima Rabbi Shimon. And l'rabbanan dal plas arche apachel l'rabbi chicha dal tartila l'arche parche. Once we've introduced this idea that she has guests, so then we don't even have to get so caught up in the numbers. Meaning anything over 14 will be totally acceptable. In other words, even if it's 18 meals, good. She's entitled to guests. And since she's entitled to guests, so it'll be 18. In other words, she herself needs 14 meals. And she'll either have 4 or 3 meals left over for the guests. Good. I'm sorry, she'll either have 3 or 2 meals left over for the guests. Shalma Yisrael, that gets us to the end of the number crunch of the Gemara, how 2 kavim is going to be sufficient for her for the week. We figured it out. We're on the bottom of Samach Dalam and Beis. I'm a Rabbi Yossi, Lo Pasuk, Sa'orim, V'chulei. So the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Barley is only given out by Rabbi Shmuel, who lives proximate to Edom. So the Gemara says, what? Ela be'edom hu da'achlin sa'orin. B'kulei ama lo achle. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Right, in Edom, they're eating barley outside of Edom. They're not eating barley. Like, what does that mean? So hachi kamer lo pasuk sa'orim kiflaim bechitim ela Rabbi Shmuel shayya samach le'edom. Min meisha es sa'orim edomios ra'osein. The conversion rate of the Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Yossi is arguing. Because what did the Mishnah say regarding the conversion rate? Meaning if you're using wheat, it's X. If you're using barley, it's 2X. Okay, now obviously, if barley's 2X, that means the barley's unbelievably inferior. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Yes, but no. Meaning, it depends where you live. If you live next to Edom, so it happens to be the barley over there is terrible. Okay, so I don't mean to be bad-mouthing the barley of Edom, but that's, I'm just explaining Rabbi Yossi. So it's terrible over there. So in other words, so if you want to supplement, and if you want to exchange, and you don't want to give wheat, and you want to give barley, and you happen to be living anywhere near Edom, so fine, so the conversion rate is X to X, right? Two times barley as per the wheat. But if you're living elsewhere, you don't have to do 2X. Okay, is there any kind of conversion rate? The Gemara doesn't comment. V'nosin l'chatzi kav kitnis. Now, you'll notice in the Mishnah the list of food items that are being provided for her. So we got wheat, maybe barley. You got beans, oil. Okay, and the list goes on and on. Notably absent from the Mishnah, conspicuously absent from the Mishnah is wine. Okay, so Phil, that's offensive. You're not going to be giving her wine? Ben's asking about meat. It's really an excellent question, right? I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. Fruit is part of her diet. Okay, good. Okay. It's a good question. I don't know. Zavi'ilu yain lokatani. But I do know, however, because the Gemara is about to discuss it, and that is, what about the conspicuous absence of wine? What's going on over here? Misayela Rebbe Lazar, Dama Rebbe Lazar. So here the Gemara now is going to take us on a pretty lengthy tangent. It's not even so tangential, meaning wine is not recommended. Wine is not recommended. Ain poskin yenos leisha. So wine is not recommended for women. Look at Rashi, the top Rashi over here. Shayin margila l'tayves tashmish. So wine is going to really lower her standards in terms of her modesty, and so therefore, in other words, it's not bechavod, it's not dignified for women to be drinking wine. V'im tamar elcha acharei ma'avai nosnei lachmai u'meimai tzamri u'pishti shamni v'shikuyai. Okay, pasuk in Hosea, and over here shikuyai seems to be a reference to wine. So the Gemara says dvarim shayisha mishtokekas aleim u'mayni u'tachshitin. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what I'll do is I'll give you an alternate way to interpret the pasuk in Hosea. Over here, when she says shikuyai, so yes, it could be interpreted as wine, but we're not going to interpret it as wine, but rather we'll interpret it as a jewelry, something that she really likes. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar nevarya, v'amri la ish kfar nefor chayel, minayin shem poskin yayin yenos leisha shenemar. So give me a source. I'll give you a source in terms of how we know that women should not be drinking wine. And that is a pasuk in Shmuel, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, right? This is now the first parak of Shmuel Aleph, and that is v'takam Chana acharei achla b'shilo v'acharei shaso. So Chana gets up after she's eating in Shilo v'acharei shaso. Now, right here, proper pronunciation really is important. It's not acharei shasa; it's acharei shaso. It says in the masculine. Excuse me. So shaso v'lo shasa. Selami ata achla v'lo achal hachinami. So the Gemara says, okay, but the eating, however, was achla. So the Gemara says, ana midishani krab divur kamrinan. The Gemara says, no, what we're doing is just we're following the grammar of the pasuk really carefully. And what's happening is that the word achla is obviously lashon nekeva. So we focus on her, but then when it gets to the wine, all of a sudden it goes from nekeva to lashon zachar. Oh, because the Navi's trying to teach us a point, which is michti begava ka'asik v'asi, my time is shani. Why did the pasuk deviate in its grammar? So shmami nashasa velo shasas. Because when it comes to drinking, specifically that of wine, so we want to make the point that the Navi wants to teach us that women are not drinking wine. So the Gemara says meisve. Okay, so the Gemara says good. But meanwhile, a question, and that is based on the following brisa. And the brisa is regarding a woman who's being supported by the estate, otherwise known as a widow. And the brisa says, regila nosin lam. So if the woman is accustomed to drinking wine, so then what you do is that the estate is going to be providing for her wine. Okay, that seems to be upsetting everything we've been saying up until now. Up until now, the Gemara has been making a really strong stand that women should not be drinking wine. And meanwhile, as part of the provisions given to her by the estate, so wine is part of the provisions. So Regila Shani, the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about a woman who's used to drinking wine. So Dam Rav Chinna Bar Kahana Amar Shmuel Regila Nosin La Kos Echad. Ein Regila Nosin La Shnei Kosos. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Brisa says, it's not a Brisa, it's a Memra. But regardless, the Memra is that if a woman's used to drinking wine, give her a cup. If she's not used to drinking wine, so give her two cups. Okay, hopefully at this point in time you're wondering, no, that can't be. That doesn't make any sense. My Kamar, immediately the Gemara reacts. Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. So Abaye says, okay, allow me to clarify. And that is Regila, Bifnei Bala, Shnei Koso. Shalom, Bifnei Bala, Nosin La, Kosechad. In other words, if the woman is used to drinking wine and her husband is present, two cups of wine. And if she's used to drinking wine and her husband is not present, one cup of wine. So, Eina Regila, Bifnei Bala, Alakosa, I'm sorry, Nosin La, Kosechad. Eina Regila, Bifnei Bala, Alakosechad. Shalom, Bifnei Bala, Nosin La, Kol Iker. And if the woman does not have any kind of history of drinking wine, she's not used to the drinking of wine. So when her husband is present, one cup, and when her husband's not present, zero cups. Okay, that's what he meant. Now, granted, by the way, it's hard to fit that into the words of Shmuel, and either what's happening is that the Gemara is totally restating what Shmuel stated, or alternatively, somehow reading that into the statement of Shmuel. At least that's what Tosos tries to do over here. Alternatively, here's what we could say, and that is that no. In other words, even the Brisa is not endorsing that she'd be drinking wine, right? A woman should not be drinking wine. This is a second approach in the Brisa. Again, I called it a Brisa. It's really Shmuel, but it's a second approach. And that is a woman shouldn't be drinking wine at all. So what is the memory of Shmuel? Cooking wine. In other words, we're talking about wine for cooking. So the Amar Rabbi Abahu, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maisa Bekalaso Shadakdinam Ben Gurion, the daughter-in-law of Nakdimam Ben Gurion. We heard a lot about him in Gittin. He's a wealthy individual in Yerushalayim towards the end of Bayit Sheni. And that is Shepaskul HaChachamim, Sasayim Yayin, L'Sikei Keder, Merev Shabbos, Le'er Shabbos. That when determining what the Mizonah should be, So it's going to be two sa'a of wine for cooking. So Armalem kachtiv sekul of neosechem, and she gave a bracha to the chachamim. Right? She basically said, "God bless you, and thank you very much, and same to you." So Tana Shemar Yavam Haisa Lo Ano Achare Amen. Now it happens to be that at the time she was a Shemar Yavam, so they didn't answer Amen to a bracha because the Amen may not only go on the wealth that she's accruing, but it also may go on the fact that she's a Shemar Yavam, which means that she's a widow, and so therefore they didn't want to say Amen. Tanakos Echa Yafa Leisha Shnaim Nivalhu Shlosha Tavas Bepeh Arba Afilu Chamor Tavas Beshuk Veina Makpedes. So here the Gemara quotes the Brisa. So the Brisa says one cup of wine acceptable, two cups of wine already she's going to be disheveled. Third cup of wine she's going to be requesting from her husband intimacy, and she'll be asking verbally, which is not appropriate for a woman. And for the fourth cup of wine, the Gemara basically Brisa over here graphically describes how basically she's ready to have relations with anything. Okay, there's graphic terminology here in the Brisa. The Amar Rava Lo Shanu El Shein Bala Imava Bala Imal Lefamba. Now Rava qualifies. Rava says that the drinking of wine for a woman is going to be not recommended, but only when her husband's not around. When her husband's around, it's fine. V'Hachana De Bala Imah Havai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let's go back to the episode with Chana, where Chana, her husband was there, and yet she did not drink wine. We read that in the Pesukim. So Achsanai Shani. The Gemara says, yeah. Because they weren't at home. In other words, they were staying by other people. So when did they conceive? Only when they went back home. In other words, only when they went back home did she conceive and have a child. Because while they were in Shiloh, they were guests by somebody else. And you don't have relations. Husband and wife don't have relations when they're guests in somebody else's house. Hashda and Mikaralo. It's clear in the Psukim, meaning the deep. It's very obvious in the Psukim that you don't have relations when you're staying by somebody else. Okay, in terms of Alach Lamaisa, there are distinctions to be made when husband and wife have their own room or given their own room. Okay, once again, important halachas, but we're going to go on in the Gemara. Chama de Vasau da Abaye. So the Chama was the wife of Abaye. I know that it sounds like a strange name, but we don't live in Bavel circa 3rd, 4th century, so these names obviously are going to seem strange to us. Her name is Choma. So, Asal Kama de Rava, Amrle Psokli Mizonai. So she says, okay, in other words, I need Mizonos. And over here, a little bit of the backstory, Abai died. Okay, now I'll give you a little more of the backstory, and this is going to become important information in just a minute from now. And that is that Choma was married to not one, not two, but three men. And Abaye, I know there's a lot of information, but well, you'll see, we need this information. And Abaye was her third husband. Okay, it's fair to ask the question. I saw that coming. Okay, my what's it called? I anticipated. So it's fair to ask the question, well, if she already killed off two men, and I don't mean, okay, that was a little tongue in cheek. I don't mean she killed the men. But in other words, she buried two husbands. So Abaye now should have thought twice of marrying her. Okay, I'm just telling you what happened. In other words, so it's fair to ask what Abaye was thinking. I'll also add to that, by the way, and these are my thoughts. So for whatever they're worth, Abaye also comes from Mishpachas Eli, so which already puts him at a precarious state in terms of longevity. So, maybe Abaye was comfortable with risk taking. Who knows? Anyway, so sorry, that was a lot of thoughts right there. So Choma now is going to Rava, and she's basically looking for Rava to be serving as Dayan, as a judge, in order so that Rava will be making sure that she gets the proper amount from the estate of Abaye. And so Pasukla. Okay, good. So now she and Rava now are negotiating exactly what she's going to be receiving. So psokli chamra. So amrle yadana bein ben achmin de lo havashasa chamra. So she says, okay, now I want wine as part of my provisions. And Rava says, look, it happens to be that I know your late husband. I know him really well. And I know he didn't drink wine. He didn't drink wine. You're not drinking wine. And certainly as a widow, you're not going to be drinking wine. Nope. He says, no. Amrle chay damar. Dave mashke le bishuf razay ki hai. And she says, no, let me correct you. She says back to Rava. He drank, he had barrels this size, and she held out her arms when showing how big the barrels were. Now, igla dara nafal nahora bebedina. And now she's extending her arms and she's showing some of her arms. And a light went forth in the Beis Din. This is euphemistic in the Gemara. Basically, in other words, it was a lot of movement on our part, and it will become clear in just a moment that she did this deliberately, intentionally, and basically she wanted Rava to notice her, maybe take her as an ex-wife. So, come Rava ala Beise. This story is nothing short than amazing. So Rava immediately runs home to his wife. It's the middle of the day. So Tava Bas Rav Chista. And what he does is he propositions his wife that they have relations immediately. In other words, basically his Yetzer Hara was excited by the encounter in Beis Din, so he ran home to his wife. So and Rava happened to have been married to the daughter of Rav Chista. And so throughout Shas, we're going to hear this again and again. So Rava's married to Bas Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista. So Amar Le Bas Rav Chista, Man Have Haina Bebedina. Okay, and Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista, is called a Jewish wife. In other words, she knows exactly what's happening. Okay, they know. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. I'm in a room full of people who know that they know. They know. And so what's going on over here? This is obviously extraordinarily strange behavior. So what is happening? So Amar Lo Chama Devasav Dabai Nafka Basra. So I'm sorry. So Chama Devasav Dabai. So basically he says, well, I'll tell you what happened. I tell you who came to Beis Din today, Chama, the wife of Abaye, the late Abaye. Say no more. She figured it all out immediately. So Nafka Basra, so what does she do? She chases after Chama. And Machtala Bekupa Deshida Ad Afkale Mekule Mechuza. And she basically, with a utensil, she starts swinging at Chama, chases Chama out of town. No longer in Mechoza. So Amrala Kaltatlech Talsa Asas Lemiktal Achrina. She says, "Look, you already killed three men, and now what are you looking to do? You're looking to kill another man." In other words, I guess in theory, and I'm proposing over here. I'm not sure if I'm right, but I guess in theory, she wouldn't be totally opposed to the idea of Rava taking on another wife. It just happens to be that not this woman. This woman already killed three men, and now if she were to also marry my husband, so in other words, I'm going to lose my husband as well.
Okay. How did it become public knowledge what Rava did to his wife in the middle of the day? Like, why did it become public knowledge? Why did he have to publicize that?
He just told his wife. He didn't tell everybody.
No, but we know this story.
I'm saying we, the reader.
Right.
Obviously, the Gemara feels that there were lessons to be learned from this whole story. The Gemara. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of information. It's a lot. And the Gemara feels, obviously, that this is important for us to hear in terms of maybe being careful about who you marry. And
somebody, when they wrote this, put down the
yes,
Gemara,
yes,
knew this story.
Yes, correct.
How did it become publicized? Like, he just went around talking about it?
So there must be, and it must be that he felt that this is information that will be useful for us. And now, am I forced to articulate exactly what lessons to be learned? Okay, in terms of, well, actually, the Gemara itself is going to be talking about some of the lessons learned. Devasad Rav Yosef Bered Rava. I know we're moving on to another story, but you'll see what I mean. Devasad Rav Yosef Bered Rava. Asal Akamid Rav Nechemiah Bered Rav Yosef. So the wife of Rav Yosef. So she goes to Rav Nechemiah. In other words, once again, same set of circumstances. Her husband died, and she's looking for a Beis Din to arbitrate in terms of how much she's going to be receiving from the estate. And Amrle Psokli Mazone Pasakla. She says, new arbitrate. Okay, so he does. So, psokli chamra. She says, I'm ready for wine. So, pasakla. Amrla yadana be'uhu b'bnei mechuzah deshasu chamra. And he says, look, I know in mechuzah, you people are used to drinking wine. And again, like we said earlier this morning, if you're regila, if you're used to drinking wine, good, go for it. Devasad de Rav Yosef, Bered de Rav Menashe, Mitzvilasa, Lekama de Rav Yosef, Amrle Psokli Mazone, pasakla. Here comes another story, which is basically going to follow the same pattern. She looks for arbitration in terms of how much to be receiving in terms of support, and he does. And psokli chamra pasakla psokli shirai. She's demanding wine. He says, "Fine, I'll make sure that the estate gives you wine." She's now looking for clothing, very fine clothing. Amrle shirai lamai. Now that's really nice clothing. In other words, what do you need that for? So amrle lachu lechaverech. So she says, "I need it for you and for your colleagues," meaning I'm going to be sitting in front of important people. If I'm sitting in front of important people, I need to look good. Okay, so that's the kind of clothing that I need in order to look good. It sounds like her argument was accepted. The Gemara doesn't tell us how he responded. Notes la mito mapas. Now over here, bedding is going to be given for her as well. That's part of the basic provisions that the husband has to give to his wife. Mapas machal salam lama lo diayvla. The Gemara says, really? In other words, once he gives her mita, mapas machasel seems to be extraneous. So the Gemara says, Amara Papa, Basar Deniga, de Malapurya, Bechavle, de Mevagir La. We're talking about communities where the beds were made out of rope, and when you're sleeping on a bed made out of rope, so what does it do? It's Mivagir. It's a great expression. Mivagir from the word Bogaris. It ages you. Okay, you don't have the right bed, and you're sleeping in the wrong bed, so you know what it does? It ages you. Okay, good. So therefore, in those kinds of communities, she needs supplemental bedding materials. Good. Tana Rabbanane Nosin La Karvikesis, Mishum Rabbi Nasan Armor Nosin La Karvikesis. We have a machlokis of Tanaima in terms of whether or not she's entitled to a pillow. Okay, good. And right, good. And the reaction in this room is perfect. Meaning what? So the hechidami ida orcha my time de Tanakama and ilavda orcha my time de Rabbi Nasan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's just go over the basics over here. Is it normal? Is it not normal? If it's normal, so then of course she should get it. And if it's not normal, then she shouldn't get it. Meaning just let's follow whatever the minig is. Why are we having Tanaim arguing about it? So lo tzricha kigon d'orche didei v'lav orche dida. The Gemara says, look, it's normal for him. Meaning he's coming from families where pillows are normal. But she's coming from families which pillows are not. Now we've already said in this Masechta on multiple occasions that basically she's always going to upgrade to his level. Alternatively, if she's coming from a higher level, she doesn't downgrade. So now, again, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, Tanakama, Savar ki yasina shalkina luhu, v'chi yasina maisina luhu bahadai. Tanakama's of the position that when he goes away, so he's going to be taking the pillow with her, with him, and when I come back, I'll bring back the pillows with me. Rather remarkable in that she's only entitled to be living the high life only when he's around. Okay, it's funny. If I had a guess, I would have guessed incorrectly. I would have said that no, when she's married to him, that's it. She's always able to maintain a certain level. Okay. Anyway, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Nasan Savar Amar Le Zimnan Demisrami Benesh Mashos V'La Matzisa Ma'isili V'Shekalta Huli Didi U'Magnis Le Alara, and she'll respond back to him. Look. I know that you'll bring the pillow back with you when you do come back, but I don't know. You're going to come back. I don't know. Beinash mashos, right? You'll be coming back like with minutes to spare, and you won't be, and the pillow won't be set up. Meaning, I need a pillow. There will be occasions where even when you do come back, the pillows won't be ready. So in other words, you're going to be leaving some pillows with me. Okay, this is a back and forth. Okay, nosan la kipa amar le rapapa la abaye. As we now turn to the top of the Amid Beis, hi Tana. Shliach Artalai, Virame Misanai. So as far as our town is concerned, so normally a woman is not clothed and just wearing shoes. So in other words, the Gemara basically saying, I don't understand. Meaning, what are we talking about in our Mishnah? Wardrobe once a year, shoes three times a year. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. So the Gemara says again, everything is societal, and meaning everything. Everything when it comes to providing for her needs obviously are going to be a function of where she's living and what people are used to. So the Gemara says that as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is describing not the flats of Florida, but rather the hills. Happens to be I was in Georgia this summer. So the hills of Georgia. And so what happens is that she's walking up and down the hill. She's going to wear out her shoes a lot. So and so since she's wearing out her shoes a lot, so yeah. So in other words, wardrobe comes once a year. Shoes need to come three times a year. And oh, by the way, bonus. We get a bonus in the Mishnah. And what's the bonus? Is that you should be giving her the shoes three times a year on Yontif. Why? Because there's a mitzvah, Simchas Yontif. And if you give her new shoes on Yontif, she'll be happy. Good. Okay, so Kalim Shel Chamishim. So as far as the clothing is concerned, so the expense amount for the clothing is going to be 50 zuz. Amar Abaye Chamishim zuz epshite. So the Gemara says now, as far as the money's concerned, so we're talking about pshutim. Okay, there were two types of currencies that were working back in the day, and so there was basically an alloy, and then there was pure silver. So over here, obviously, the alloy being extraordinarily cheaper. And the Gemara says that, I know our Mishnah says 50 zuz, but I'm telling you, though, we're talking about the cheaper currency, not the higher currency. Now, I know that because I read the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that our Mishnah here is describing somebody who is poor. But if somebody's wealthy, so then their wardrobe is going to be a function of the wealth. So, now, if the 50 zuz is talking about the pure metal, the pure silver, that's a lot. That's a lot. In other words, that's not describing anim shebiyisrael. So, elosh mamina chamishim zuz epshite. So, just a simple deek in the Mishnah tells us that the zuz being described in the Mishnah is talking about the alloy coin, not the pure silver. Einos and lachadashim, tana rabbanan, moser mizonos labal, moser belaos leisha. What if there's surplus? So, the Gemara here is going to make a distinction. The Bryce is going to make a distinction between surplus food and surplus clothing. Surplus food goes back to the husband. Surplus clothing stays with her. Most of blows leisha lamalei amirachva shemiskaza behem be made didasa kedei shelo tizkana bala. So you know what she'll do with the surplus clothing? She'll wear it while she's in Edom. So that way that clothing will become dirty. And so therefore she doesn't have to be embarrassed with her husband. In other words, she'll have a change of clothing while she's in Edom. Amar Abayi Naktina and Moser Balaos Almana Li Yorshav. So the Gemara says, now as far as the widow is concerned, so let's say the widow has any surplus clothing. Now her provisions are being provided by the estate. So here, any surplus is going to return to the estate. Now obviously this is in contrast to the husband. When there's a husband, so she gets to keep the surplus clothing. But when there's an estate, the surplus clothing is going to go back to the estate. Why? Gemara explains. Hasamu dolo tiskane biape, hacha tiskane vitiskane. So the Gemara says, because the difference will be in that when it comes to the husband, so this will serve as a change of clothing when she's in Ida. But when it comes to an almana, so you don't have this embarrassing factor. Okay. I know times have changed over the course of time, over the course. And it's hard for us to relate to this idea that women are going to be wearing clothing that has stains on it. It's just obvious. I'm making an obvious point. Well, we don't know what 50 zuz can buy.
He didn't have stains on it. Maybe it was just the fact that it just signifies her husband that she's Anita.
I understand, but doesn't sound.
Remind him.
I like what you're saying, but it doesn't read that way in the Gemara. Nosin lama akesef the mayo cheles. Okay, now we were already alluded to this earlier in today's daf, but now that here the Gemara is discussing it, and they're eating together on Friday night. Now, what does that mean? So it either is understood literally or figuratively. So Rav Nachman amar cheles mamish, Rav Ashi amar tashmish. So the Amoraim debate exactly how to interpret the Mishnah, and the Gemara goes over the back and forth. So Tanan Ocheles Imo Leila Shabbos Bishal Lamand Amar Laachila Hainu Diktani Ocheles Lamand Amar Tashmish May Ocheles. So it's as if the Gemara doesn't know about the idea of euphemism. We do this all the time. Okay, but here's an example where it could be that our Mishnah meant euphemistically. Ocheles Lishlam Alya Kidichsiv Achlal Machta Piyav Amar Lo Palti Aven. Happens to be that we cite this pasuk numerous times throughout Shas. So it's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's a description of a woman who committed adultery, but the pasuk speaks euphemistically, right? So she wipes her face and she says, "I didn't do anything wrong." That pasuk is a euphemism, okay? And I'm not here to spell that out, but you're smart and you're going to figure it out. Okay, Meisri Rishim and Gamliel Almer Chalas Baleila Shabbos Vishabbos. So Bishlam Laman Damar Achila Hainu Diktani Vishabbos. So now, once again, is the Mishnah literal or figurative? Well, it says Lele Shabbos Vishabbos, meaning this is the opinion of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. By the way, we didn't hear this in our Mishnah. On the Mishnah, we only heard Lele Shabbos. But we have a brace over here citing the opinion of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. It's going to be Lele Shabbos and Shabbos. So if we're talking about food, it makes a lot of sense. Ela Laman Damer Tashmish, Tashmish B'Shabbos Mi'ika. So the Gemara says, well, if it's euphemism and it talks about husband and wife being intimate on Shabbos, so Friday night, fine, but Shabbos day? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, look, Jewish people are a holy group of people. They don't have relations. This is no longer ambient sound, by the way. Okay, just another two more minutes. Perfect. Okay, So Hamar Rava Beveis Afamutar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even for a Talmud Chacham, so they can engage in relations during the day, and that's Beveis Afal as long as their house is dark. V'imai Saminika Darsh Rav Ula Rava Pischa Debe Nisi Afal Pishamru Ein Adam Zanis Banav Benosav Kishem Ketanim Avazan Kitne Ketanim. So here's the point that we made earlier in the Masechta, but the Gemara now is making it again. And that is that there's no obligation for a husband to support his children. Okay, I know it's coming out sounding harsh, but a person has no obligation to support his children, but his children, while they're really small, so he has an obligation. Ad kama, ad ben sheish. They're up until 6 years of age. Okay, the Rabbi Asi, Dama Rabbi Asi, katan ben sheish, yotze be'eruv imo. As far as the katan is concerned, the katan goes out, eruv imo, meaning that when you have a minor, any child below the age of six, so that is basically a subordinate of the mother. In other words, totally an appendage to the mother. So much like, obviously, you have to provide mazonos for the woman, so her appendages as well, I don't mean literal appendages, but in other words, the children are, well, actually, you know, the words, like, yeah, it could be literal appendages because the mother may be nursing. But anyway, but the point is that up until 6 years of age, so the child is totally subordinate to the mother. So much like you have to support the mother, so then the child, obviously, you have to support as well. After 6 years of age, so the child is no longer a subordinate to the mother, and so therefore you are not fundamentally obligated to support them. What did we learn earlier in the Masechta Daf Nun? That takes us to about 2.5 weeks ago. So on Daf Nun, what we learned is that there is an obligation, there's a takanasusha, that you have to support your children until adulthood. Okay, back then adulthood meant 12 and 13 years of age, but you understand. Mimai, let's remind ourselves what we learned in the Mishnah, that while she's nursing, more mizonos, less maisi adayim. So my time, and it's because why is she getting more mizonos? Because the child is going to be eating. So the Gemara says, mishum decholahi. So the Gemara says, well, I don't know, maybe she's getting more mizonos just simply because she's in a more frail and fragile state. Im kain lisne. Im haisa chola, my im haisa meinika. So the Gemara says, okay, but why does the Mishnah say if she's nursing? V'dilma kamashwan, the stam meinikos cholos nino. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're making the same point. In other words, the fact that she's sick and the fact that she's nursing are maybe two sides of the same coin. A nursing woman is going to be in a more fragile state and could qualify as a chola. So in Marmar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi mosifan la yayin shayayin yafel lechalav. I know this goes against what we learned earlier this morning, but nursing woman, give her wine. Wine is great for nursing. Good. Hadrat alach afapi. That is the end of the Masechta. It's the end of today's daf. Okay, yishakoach.